Welcome to the Mompreneur Nation podcast. You found your tribe for all things motherhood and entrepreneurship. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are watching the Mompreneur Nation podcast. Today we are talking with baking extraordinaire and digital sales extraordinaire, Amanda Schoenberg. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, darling. Thanks so much for having me.
Yay, yay. Okay, Amanda. Like, your story is so loaded and it is so, like, just beautiful. I literally cannot wait for people to hear all the nicks and turns and the downs. And I mean, it is just, it's so inspiring. And I personally just want to tell you, I'm like so proud of you. I think you are absolutely phenomenal, but I know all the things. The people don't know all the things. So let's get into it. Tell us about yourself.
Absolutely. So I am a chef as well as I am a digital product coach. And so I created a business to help other bakers during the time when I was having my business. I noticed a lot of people struggled with how to build, how to start, how to grow their business. And over time, the digital products that I created for them attracted an audience of tons of other people. And fast forward, I've been blessed to be hired by brands such as Facebook, Wells Fargo, Thinkific, and more to help generally anyone, especially entrepreneurs and creatives, to actually grow and scale their business. And I love to do that through digital products.
I love that. So when you say digital products, exactly, like, tell me two or three things that you have out there as products.
Sure. So one of the biggest things is I actually have bundles, which are really great products. These are ebooks and checklists that anybody can buy if you're struggling with your niche or you're struggling to make a product. These are what we call DFY, done for you products that any particular person can buy that are already done. I also have courses myself. I put out courses for people that walk a person through A through Z. If there's something that they're struggling with, how to launch their digital product business, how to grow their digital product business. And then even for those who are still in my, I don't want to say former, but still very much current industry, even if it's baking related, the same. And then I have a membership as well. And so those are a couple of the forms of digital products that I have and tons of eBooks.
I love that. I love that. Okay. So things are going fantastic right now. Great. It wasn't always that way, right?
Not at all.
Walk us back from the beginning of, you know, your journey of where you were to how you got to where you are.
The beginning of my journey. Wow. I know before this, we were talking, this is definitely a full circle moment at the time of me recording this. I'm blessed. I own multiple six-figure businesses and I get to travel and help people. However, about a couple years back, you were actually interviewing probably definitely one of the worst and the lowest moments of my life. January 16, 2011, I lost my mom in a house fire. I was in culinary school and this was before any of my businesses started. I moved my mom next door to me to take care of her because she was showing the early signs of dementia. And sometimes she would call me and things would be off before we moved her. And I would go back and forth. And I said, okay, I want to look after you. I want to love you. I want to do all the things, but you're a little far. So I moved her next door and things were going pretty great. And then one day I heard this loud boom. Like, I thought a dumpster truck had literally like exploded or hit. I mean, it was extremely loud. And I opened my door and she was the exact unit across from me. And I just see windows bursting, flames coming out, and it's my mom's unit that's on fire. That day, I lost my mom, my car, everything I owned. The fire traveled. It was the first fire of the new year. It traveled up. When the fire people got there, the people who were above us, they actually had to throw their baby down because it was just so strong. 8 units were affected, mine included. Everyone else lost material things, but yeah, that was the day that I lost my mom. And that was extremely tough. Red Cross put us in a room for a while, but there were times where we didn't have. And at this time, I wasn't necessarily born with a silver spoon, but you know, when you're younger in your 20s, you got that lifeline, right? Like, I'm not worried about nothing because I'm going through life. If it's something I need, I call on my mom. So that day, that lifeline was gone. And I'm sitting here in culinary school, like, what am I going to do? And I thought about it and I said, you know what? I know what my mom would want me to do. I know what God would want me to do. So I'm just going to keep moving. And it was, oh, make it. I caught 6 buses a day to get to school. I had to catch 3 buses to get to school. I had to catch 3 buses to get back to school. I remember going and applying for food stamps while I was working at McDonald's and the lady telling me I made too much money. I'm like, ma'am, I'm part-time at McDonald's. I don't have anything. How is it that we don't qualify? So we would literally get food from one of the local churches, one of the charity churches. My husband worked at Popeyes. And so if they had extra stuff left over for the night, he would probably bring home chicken and I would take chicken and rice and add an onion and try to do anything I can, you know? And that's how life was like for us, but I made the best of it. And I never complained because I still had God. And I know that we all go through fires in life, but I tell people all the time, the fire didn't break me. It just made me, it made me stronger. And so that was literally what kickstarted everything with my drive of just wanting to wake up every day and be a better version of myself than I was the day before.
I'm speechless. Every time we talk about this, I think about how God's hand was in all of that because we'd met before, you know, so we knew who each other was, you know, but that morning I was working at the station, at Channel 9. And it was a Sunday morning because I usually left there and went directly to church. And that morning, the call came through. I heard it on the scanners, but our regular photographer was out. I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to go do it. Let me go do it. I can get back and then get back, you know, all that stuff. So I'm rushing out there to do it because I'm not a photographer. I'm just like, let me do this to help. So I get out there and I just remember parking the car, getting out of the unit and seeing you running around, shaking and screaming. And I was like, I think that's Amanda. I think that's Amanda. I can't. And like, as I'm getting closer to you and closer to you, I'm like, oh dear God, this is Amanda. And you just kept saying, my mom, my mom. And I still hadn't put it together what had happened at that point. I just knew fire, my mom. And I mean, I was just amazed that even in the moment, like there, something so horrible, like God still strategically set something up so somebody would be there in that moment. And I was just like, just taken aback how sometimes even in like our worst moments, in the moments that we think are the absolute lowest points of our life, it's like God still makes a way and he still sets something up just so that we can be okay. You know, even in the hardest times, you know, and it doesn't always feel that way, does it? But it's like he's always a step ahead. There's never, ever, ever a time that he's not ahead. Like, I feel like we could pull a keyboard here and take an altar call. But, you know, it's like,
absolutely.
There's just never a time that he's not in it with us at every second.
And I remember you praying with me. And yeah, because I was literally screaming like a chicken with my head cut off, trying to rush through flames to just see, you know. But yeah. It was nothing I could do.
So from there, you're living in homes, you're living wherever, and you're still going to school, taking 6 buses a day, which incidentally, if you're not in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, maybe you're not understanding like how big of a deal that is, but like, that's a big deal. That's a big deal here. Taking those and talk to me about what it was like trying to get through school.
It was frustrating because I was in my last semester and at the same time, I'm now trying to plan a funeral. And so we grew up in California, just calling people back and forth, trying to do what I could do while still just trying to focus on what I had to finish. I was up for a scholarship and I didn't want to lose it at the time. I was also SGA at the community college I was going to. I was the SGA treasurer. So I just had a just this heavy load of a lot of things to do and a lot of things to get through. And I just tried to take it day by day to keep showing up to class. And everyone was so kind. You know, my other the other students were giving me notes, and you know, the teachers were so accommodating, and they were like, you know, if you want to sit out. And I was like, I'm not sitting out. Like, I come too far to go back. And so we had the funeral, and I buried my mom, and I dealt with that, and I just kept going until I finished. And when I did finish, I graduated with honors. Yeah. I graduated debt-free. I kept all my scholarships, and that was just a blessing. And I remember the news then coming out, and it's so crazy, the things we think we wanted. I was so sure I wanted a job at a nursing home. I knew I just wanted to manage other places and bakeries. And I was so sure that, you know, that's what I was going to do. I was just going to get out and have a job. I never even knew or thought or dreamed that entrepreneurship was something that was actually, it was in my view.
Or possible at all. I know I hear that so much, but also, you know, we're in an age right now where anything's possible. Maybe even 10 years ago, it didn't seem like that was in the scope, because how are you going to make a bunch of money selling things online? You know, like how is that going to happen? Yeah, you can make cupcakes, but now the world has opened up so much. And so things are so much different, which is absolutely beautiful. So talk about when you first started making those beautiful cupcakes of yours and selling it, and things started turning around for you.
Yeah. So I was working by this time. I had managed a couple retail bakeries. I was on a job that I loved, Costco. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to start this home bakery. It's just a way to make a little extra money on the side. And so I did. I started what's known as a cottage bakery, when you bake on your own land from home. And it was called Chef Schomburg Sweets. And business just took off. Like, I never really, God's hand has always been over my businesses. I never really struggled with growing it, with doing anything. If I saw something, I went after it. And I remember about, it was about 2 or 3 months into business, I had saw this billboard that Gina Neely from Food Network was coming to town. Yes. And I said, oh, that's awesome. I got to make a cake for her. And then so I told my husband, and he was like, well, how are you going to make that happen? And I was like, well, I'm just going to speak it into existence. And so every day I would count the days, and I would count the days, and then it came closer. And then I said, you know, I'm just going to slide in her DMs and just pitch myself. And so I did. And I said, hey, you know, I know you're having this event. If you need any services, let me know. And she responded amazingly and hired me. And I was like, wow. And I was like my first celebrity client. And after that, anytime I saw someone coming to Baton Rouge, I just, if I saw an opportunity, I went after it. And, you know, God never gives us a spirit of fear. So I've never had one. And the bakery started growing, and I would post things online, and that led to me doing orders for like Brian McKnight and Juvenile and different people. Then I was doing a lot of corporate catering for like iHeartRadio and hospitals and stuff like that. And as I'm doing this and just building my business and doing amazing things, what you also don't realize is that there are other business owners that see that too, you know, and they're wondering like, well, how do you do this? How are you always booked? How do you get started? Like, how does the business portion come so easy? So I used to go on this app called Periscope, and that was where I would kind of,
Periscope.
I would kind of get away from my clients, and that's where I would kind of network with other bakers. And never in my wildest dreams did I imagine just helping them would actually turn into another business.
That's awesome. Golly, we went way back to those days with Periscope, right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
How far we've come. I love that. I love how you said, I just look for an opportunity and I take it. Look for, because I think in between that point of looking for an opportunity and actually doing it, there's a whole lot of issues in there. There's doubt. There's question. There's what if I'm good enough? There's all this. There's self-sabotage. There's all those things. But the difference is you just crushed it all and just said, I'm going to do it.
Definitely. Doing it, but also living it. So for me, the difference is speaking God's word. I tell people all the time, you know, I'm human too. I understand what you feel, but I have to let my faith trump my feelings.
Yes.
So when I feel like I'm not good enough, where is that coming from? Then I have to say, well, hold up. I'm good enough. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. when I think this may be too far for me to attain, that I say, no, nothing can stop the favor of God. He wouldn't bring me this far just to bring me this far. And so that's what I always tell people. My faith will always triumph my feelings because I can't go against the word.
That's it. That's it. You're carrying it in here. Carrying it and walking it out and living it. And it's true. God has not given us the spirit of fear. My girls, every night when they go to bed, they listen to that song, Sound Mind. And Sound Mind for a Spirit of Fear. And they listen to that every night just on repeat. And it's just filtering through our whole house just all the time. Like God's given us a sound mind that we can hold. And because we have a sound mind, we can do and apply all the things his word says that we are. And we can be all those things. And you are such a beautiful testament of that. I love your story. I remember one of the times I saw you and you were working at the cookie company in Mall, Louisiana.
Yeah.
And that might have been the first time that I'd seen you again since the fire. And I was like, what? Look at you. And I was so proud of you then. I was just like, look at you. You know, you're doing good and everything. And from then until now, it's just like, this is what it's all about. This is.
And it's crazy that you say that they are now actually my client. I was the manager at Great American Cookie Company. Now I go to other Great American Cookie Companies and help them streamline their processes.
Look at you, Steve. Look at this. Girl, I love it. Every turn just gets better and better and better. So to those who are in your, how many do you have in your community?
Oh, wow. Throughout my programs, definitely over 1,000. In my membership, a little over 300. The membership isn't open all the time. And then we have other people who buy courses and workshops in between other things.
That's just so amazing. It's so encouraging. So what does it look like a day in your community? How are you communicating with them and talking? What's that look like?
We have fun. We have a private community group, so they always have help and assistance. Every month they have a different either a business class or a different challenge that they do. Usually on a day-to-day basis, it's really just me answering questions, being there, a lot of email, stuff like that. I do a lot of one-on-one coaching with not just bakers, but now a day in my life is filled with other people who sell digital products, other people who want to put their digital products out there. So it's very split nowadays. And I really, really enjoy it because what I show my students is you can start and you can grow. But when I bring them to the digital product side, I've always instilled in them, you do need to scale. And this is where digital products come in. We all need to scale. Any creative, any entrepreneur. And that's why I love digital products so much. And so every single day I'm either creating content, answering questions in the DM, just working on ways that I could show people their purpose and how they can profit with digital products or through their talent.
I love it. I love it. So do you get a lot of orders in now for cakes and cupcakes? And are you still?
I'm booked for the rest of the year because now my main focus is digital products. So I'm booked. I kept my corporate clients. Those are the only orders I fulfill. But everything else is more so on the marketing, just working with people who want to start or do their own digital products and then helping my students build their business.
So before we started, you gave me some little fun fact about where you're at right now in March.
Yeah.
What's going on? Tell us. Give us the deeds.
We're 64 days into the new year, and I'm already over $80,000 in revenue. I average $1,000 per day with digital products.
That is absolutely phenomenal. So let's say somebody's wanting to start in digital products. What does that look like? Give us a quick synopsis or whatever, what that looks like.
Yeah. So you have two roads you can take. If you're someone who doesn't have a niche, maybe you're unsure of how to create a product. I always say start with a done for you product because it takes the burden away from creating and allows you to put stuff out there. If you're someone who has a niche, you have a passion, and maybe you're in a one-to-one business. This week I went to a women's retreat. I met a lot of women like that, women who were nutritionists, coaches, real estate people, they have their thing. So then it's trying to help them bring their thing into a digital form so that it can always be available on Evergreen. Because that's what I love about digital products is I generate this income without ever leaving home, staying from home. Every single thing I do, you know, only involves a laptop. And I tell people all the time, it doesn't take much to get started. You know, you can formulate your ideas on ChatGPT. You can use an amazing free app like Canva in order to put it into form. Sign up for any free social media profile. So to get started is free. It's amazing. But the drive and the hustle is sold separately. And so that's where I help people to push. And we got to make sure that we put work behind the thing because we know faith without work is dead.
Absolutely. So a lot of people, sometimes I'll help build courses for clients. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people will start building courses, but then they don't have anyone to sell it to. So like, can you talk about the importance of building your brand and your audience? Because, you know, you got to have someone to sell to, right?
Absolutely. So what I always tell people is start off by sharing your story and then start off with an amazing lead magnet, you know, a freebie. I'm really big on building your list, especially now because we live in a time where, you know, one minute you hear TikTok this, another minute maybe Instagram and Facebook is down. And like I say that I love Facebook and Instagram, the platforms, I've been hired by them, but have your own land. God bless the child that has their own. And so that's what that freebie is going to be. That lead magnet is going to be something that you put out and it should be good. I'm not talking about BS. It should come from your heart. It should be something that you're passionate about to where you give a person. Because it's going to do a couple things. Number one, it establishes your authority. Yes. Number two, it's going to build trust. And then number three, it's going to allow you to kind of kick off that relationship so that you can build the following, you can build the list, and you can start actually finding your people, your tribe. There's enough out here for everyone. There is enough room at the table. Every single day we see a different brand come into light that we thought, wow, we didn't know we need this. Like a brand like Liquid Death, water, right? There's tons of water companies. Liquid Death comes out the woodworks, just $1 million corporation. So God, I tell people God's mercies are new every day.
Every day, yeah.
Because of that, you have an opportunity every day to build your own business.
It's true. And you easily could have been like, well, you know, there's a lot of bakers out there. There's a lot of course creators. But you know what? Each one of us are different. Each one of us are very specific. God has created us intentionally as unique with our own fingerprint, our own DNA, all that stuff. And so all of us, the you know, the field may be crowded, you know, there might be look like it's a little bit overdone, too many real estate markets, too many our agents, too many bakers, too many this. But like, if that's where God has put you, then that's where you should be and that's where you should thrive. And that's what you've done and that's what you've really built. So how many times have you had to like remind yourself and pump yourself up from the negative thoughts that come in your mind? Because that in itself, I think, is one of the big things that really will hold you back as an entrepreneur.
Generally, maybe about once a week. It does hold back a lot of people. And I do know that. But I think I have a routine and I love to share this with people because we know things happen. I always try to come up with a plan to overcome that.
That's good.
And so for me as an entrepreneur, before I even start my day, I got to start in a word. Like I have to get in that daily Bible app. I got to spend my 10, 15 minutes. I have to speak over myself and remind myself of who God says I am. And it's kind of like armoring yourself. So yeah, that way, when I do scroll on social media, if I do see something or a competitor and it's like, oh, I feel behind, that's immediately diminished. And I'm like, no. Sometimes we just have to change our mindset to go from a scarcity mindset to an abundance mindset. So when I see people now, when I see a competitor, instead of feeling like I'm not good enough or I'm behind, I flip that thing around. I say, wow, look at God. Look at God showing me what's possible. If they can do it, and it's possible for them, then it's possible for me. And so for me personally, if you start your day with that, by filling your cup, pouring into yourself, maybe it's meditation, whatever it is that you do, when little things, like remember that game, Whack-A-Mole, when those little things pop up?
Yes.
Yeah. Imposter syndrome, bop, we're just going to bop that down. Negativity, bop, we're just going to, I'm too chubby to be on camera. Bop, we just, and all day, exactly. Before it even arises, I'm just bopping that thing down and speaking it into existence. So, yeah.
I love that. I love that because there's so many scrolling through the feeds on all the channels. It's the quickest way to knock yourself down. It's the comparison. And it's such a lie. It's such a lie because whoever those people are, they still don't have what you have.
Absolutely. I tell people there are three things that separate us. If anyone ever struggles with imposter syndrome or feeling like I'm not good enough, I call this the three S's. But the first thing is your story. Someone's going to relate to your story. Simply, there's someone else on the opposite side of this listening to this who may have lost a parent in a tragic way. They may relate to my story. So your story is what makes us different. And we don't all have tragic stories, but we do have a story of how we've overcome. So we have to allow our tests to become testimonials. That's the first S. The second S is your self-identity. You know, there are people who will relate to you just because you're a believer. Then there are also people who maybe they're non-believers. So they're going to find their person. There are people who may relate to us because we're women, right? So then our race, so our self-identity, that's something someone cannot take away from us. And then lastly, your successes, the things you've accomplished. You know, there are people who specifically want to work with me because they know, okay, yeah, she's worked with Facebook, or they know I share screenshots, you know, like I talk it. Hey, I'm not on a yacht hanging out of an airplane, but let me show you how God took me from fire to founder.
Woo.
Right?
That right there.
So your story, your self-identity, your successes, those are three things that no one can take away from you.
From fire to founder. That's a book. That's a whole book. Have you started that book yet?
No, not
yet.
We need
to talk about that. We need to talk about that. That is from fire to founder. Have mercy. It's going to take me a second to get over that one. Yeah, that's amazing. Everything that you say, it reminds me so much of how good God is, mm-hmm. how merciful he is, how faithful he is. You know, if you can just trust him, if we can just like hold on to him, from fire to founder, like all of us have a from fire to founder story.
Yes.
All of us do. And I love the way you said it. You got to share your story. What does the Bible say? We overcome by the word of our testimony. There's somebody out there that's listening that's going to attach to your story, that will attach to my story. Whoever's listening, they're going to attach to your story. You just have to speak it and get past, hit the whack-a-moles.
Yes.
Knock them down and keep on going. I love that. So I got a question for you, because I love to ask everyone who comes on this podcast this question, okay? So let's pretend you wake up tomorrow, all right? No one knows who you are. Mm-hmm. Not your following. Nobody knows who you are. You know who you are. You know your success, but no one else does. $0 in a bank account. What's the first three things you're doing to rebuild your life?
First three things I'm doing is I'm creating an Instagram page because it's free. Second thing I'm doing is I'm creating a lead magnet on Canva, which is free, so that I can have something to give. The third thing I'm doing is I'm going to Fiverr, which is free to sign up, listing myself as a freelance person. I'm charging half the rate of everyone else, not because I don't believe in myself, but to hurry up and get clients at a quick pace. I'm taking their testimonials, which are free, using it for content, rinsing and repeating every single week until I build myself up into who I know God's called me to be.
I love it. I love the way you say it too, with just like such boldness and confidence too. It's like, this is what I'm doing.
Yes. That's what I tell people. That's what I love about online. You know, you can literally start from nothing to something. We're living in a day and age, Megan, where there are no excuses. Imagine how cool it would have been, you know, if the Lord had a cell phone or someone would have texted him ahead of time at the Last Supper, right? But here we are. We have all this technology. We're taking things for granted. Our grandparents used to, if they wanted to get the message out, they would have to spend thousands of dollars on billboard ads. They would have to mail. You would have to have so many thousands to even start a business. Never in the day and age has there been a time where you can get started with little to no money. And so when people tell me I'm afraid to post the content, or I haven't posted, or I'm inconsistent, I'm going to call you out on it. And I'm definitely going to tell you then that's your fault, because we've been given every single tool under the sun. if you don't show up and utilize what God has given you, then we got to be really mindful of what we ask for, because he's a man, not a magician. So he won't do the work if you don't do the work. And it's unfair to ask for something that you're not ready to receive. So this is a beautiful time. Whoever created the cell phone, whoever created social media, I love them. Thank you. Thank you. Because I'm going to show up and I'm going to make sure that, you know, I leave the 99 to serve the one every single day on these apps and platforms.
I love that. I love that. And you know what else? Something I was just thinking whenever you were talking, you know, there's such power in just showing up.
Yes.
And just showing up. There are people who are introverted, you know, who still show up and still hit that button. It takes a lot sometimes to just hit that button, just go live. It's not always easy, but people do it. You have to find that courage, and you have to also remind yourself, like, I like to think before I'm going to go live, before I'm going to do this, even this podcast, I had to ask myself, what's holding me back? Like, what is it that I'm actually scared of? A lot of times you're afraid of success, but you're also afraid of what if this person or what if that person? But the truth is, do you ever really sit by, scroll and see people online and go, oh, look at them. Oh, they're too big. Oh, their hair looks this. Oh, they talk like this. Do you ever do that?
No.
I never do that. Who does that? It's only in our minds that we think other people are seeing that, or that other people are saying that about. They're not. People are overwhelmed. They don't even care. Like, you matter, but also you don't matter. You know?
Very much so. Very much so. And I tell people all the time, you have to understand, just like the Lord is real, so is the devil. So he's doing his job. When you recognize that his job is to lie, steal, kill, destroy. How can he do that? In your mind. Because if he can get in your mind, he can get in your heart.
Game over.
And once he gets in your heart, that limits what you're doing with your hands. So now you're not pushing that go live button. Now you're not writing that ebook. Now you're not sharing your story, all because of a lie that was planted in your head. So yeah, we got to realize, okay, you're on your job. That's cool. I'm going to be on my job too.
I'm going to be on my job too. How about that?
That's
it. No mind. You got to, it's, we are always in battle, right?
Yes.
It's not the physical, it's spirits, it's principalities and powers. That's what we're always fighting against. And you're right. If he can get in your head and stop the thought, then you've halted yourself completely. It works in both ways. You know, a bad thought is just like a seed that grows, that turns into actions and turns into words, all these things. And it's the same way the other way.
Yeah.
You know, same way and vice versa. So we always have to take control of those thoughts and remind ourselves, like, this is who I was created to be.
Yes.
Even in days when I don't feel like I'm capable, or I look at myself and question, I remind myself, I'm not questioning myself. I'm now questioning who God created me. So now I'm intentionally questioning him. I'm saying what you did wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
You know, he power packed each one of us with a purpose, with a plan. And he gave us all the things that we needed to do what we were doing, including being a mom. You know, he gave us all that. So to question ourselves is to essentially question him. And I'm just glad that I love talking to you. I'm glad that you have that clarity. You're sharing that clarity with all of us. So listen, if somebody's on the other end listening to us right now and they're struggling and they're wanting to start the business and maybe they're still in the fire part, right? Haven't made it to the founder. Give them some words of hope.
Wow. Man, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you can do it. You can definitely do it. But also, one of my favorite sayings that I think it was an old blues song says, I've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul on its way to church. Whatever you have inside of you, you can't take with you when you leave. And by you not stepping out and being who God called you to be, by you not going after the thing, trying the thing, I don't care if you say, Amanda, Megan, I tried it 10 times. Cool. Try it 10 more. Right. Because you didn't fail. You just learned a lesson. Now you're more equipped. Now you're 10 times stronger than the first time. But show up, because to not show up and share your gifts, me personally, I say it's a little selfish. The world needs exactly what you have. but we won't get it until you open up and share it. And it's better to share it now. And that way you can pass along to your kids, create generational wealth, start a legacy, do what you were called to do, because you can't take it with you when you're gone. We will never see a hearse with a U-Haul on its way to church.
That's so good. Live your life to the very big max, you know, give it all. I love that. I love you. Thank you so much. Please tell everybody how they can get in touch with you or become a part of your membership.
Absolutely. Yeah. If there are any bakers listening, you can always reach out at bakingforbusiness.com. If anyone is a non-baker and you want to start your digital product business or you want to get started with passive income, you can find me at teachingyourpassion.com.
I love that. Amanda, thank you so much. I feel so much and more empowered than ever. I think this is going to be spectacular. And I wish you the absolute best. And I appreciate everything that you've done.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right.